This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Health officials have identified 10 new cases of COVID-19 in Alaska Sunday, bringing the statewide total to 32. Seven of the new cases are in Anchorage, two in the Mat-Su Borough, and one in Juneau. In a news release, state epidemiologist Joe McLaughlin says at least two of the Anchorage cases were not clearly related to travel. According to the news release, all the patients are adults and none are hospitalized. They are isolating at home and their close contacts are being asked to quarantine for 2 weeks. The section of epidemiology is investigating these cases in cooperation with Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson and the Anchorage Health Department, according to the news release. COVID-19 cases have now been identified in 8 Alaska communities: Anchorage, Fairbanks, Ketchikan, Seward, Sterling, Soldotna, Juneau, and the Mat-Su Borough. And Bethel's largest cab company, Kusko Cab, is shutting down at midnight Friday and will be closed until at least April 1st to help prevent the spread of coronavirus. And two of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta's regional air carriers are enacting tighter health and sanitation procedures to help prevent the spread of coronavirus in rural communities. Grant Aviation and Raven Air are verbally and visually screening employees and passengers, asking them if they have COVID-19 symptoms, if they've been around anyone with these symptoms, and if they've traveled out of state recently, before passengers board aircraft or before workers begin their shifts. Both airlines have also increased the frequency of sanitizing their aircraft. Grant Aviation will soon require employees to take daily temperature readings as well, and eventually begin monitoring passengers' temperatures once they get the equipment to do so. So far, one community, Hooper Bay, has asked Grant to limit the passengers it flies into the village to residents. Grant says some of its pilots are flying into the state early so they can complete their state-mandated 14-day quarantine. And several more villages in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta have enacted strict travel restrictions to protect their communities from COVID-19. Stony River Traditional Council is no longer allowing non-residents into the village. In the council's notice, they said people could leave the village, but they may not be allowed to return. Exceptions will only be allowed for medical travel or emergencies. Stony River's policy will go into effect March 24th and last until, quote, COVID-19 has been under control, quote. Tuntutuliak's travel policy is slightly more lax. Travel to Tuntutuliak is prohibited by people outside the YK Delta. All business travel from outside Tuntutuliak is also suspended. Pass-through travel via snow machine or four-wheelers is still allowed, and travel for medical reasons is still permitted for residents. But community members have been advised to avoid inter-village travel. Akiak is enacting similar restrictions to Tunt, telling their residents to stay within the YK Delta unless it's for health or legal reasons. Akiak Native Community Chief Mike Williams says if residents do travel out of the region and come back, to stay home for 2 weeks. Williams also says the village is requesting out-of-region visitors to stay away unless they are providing essential emergency services. Akiak's policy will go into effect today and last at least 2 weeks. Other villages with travel restrictions include Gweethlik, Kasigluk, Tuksuk Bay, Nunapichuk, Nabuskiak, Nightmute, Amonok, and the Lower Yukon Village of Grayling. Kasigluk is requiring any travelers coming in from Bethel to self-quarantine for 14 days. And if you haven't gotten a moose this winter, there's still time for some hunters. The winter moose season has been extended for local residents to April 30th in the Unit 18 remainder hunt area. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is adding 2 weeks to the winter hunt to make it the same length as the moose season on federally managed lands along the Yukon and Johnson Rivers. Biologists say the moose population in this portion of Unit 18 is doing well, with estimates of 15,500 animals in the herd. The state harvest limit for local residents is 2 moose per year. That means if you harvested a moose last fall or earlier this winter, you can still legally get another one during this extended season, but you will still need a current 2020 hunting license. They are available along with general season moose harvest tickets online. And coronavirus restrictions on public gatherings put a hold on the campaign to gather signatures for an election to recall Governor Mike Dunleavy But the campaign was relaunched last Friday with a new petition form for people to use at home. The forms can be requested online and returned in the mail. The Division of Elections has signed off on the one-page household petition booklets, but a court challenge against the Recall Dunleavy campaign is due for a hearing this week. An earlier round of signatures qualified the petition for a second round, requiring more than 71,000 signatures. The campaign already has more than 30,000, it said last week. Those who signed the first round also need to sign the second in order to have their signatures counted. And there are unique challenges for a remote community to deal with a contagious disease like COVID-19, but the staff at the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation Hospital says these are not new challenges for the region. They've had to deal with other epidemics. Dr. Ellen Hodges, chief of staff at the regional hospital in Bethel, says they're prepared when needed to shift more resources and staff to help village clinics that need the help, and they are calling each village daily to assess the situation. She also says that the remoteness of the region's bush communities mean they are changing the guidelines for quarantining staff coming into the region. The guideline from the state is to quarantine medical staff for 14 days.
Because of the complete lack of resources in our area, this is really not possible. So we're asking our healthcare providers, if they have been out of region, to wear a mask on themselves when they're treating a patient, to as much as possible stay 6 feet away from people, and to wear gloves when they're doing things with a patient.
Dr. Hodges says she has no doubt that COVID-19 is out in the community population in Alaska, as it is in many places in the lower 48 states. She says the medical establishment is just waiting for the tests to prove it. The main reason, she says, is that it is increasingly known that the coronavirus is contagious before people show symptoms.
So once a person is sick, they may have already been infectious for a couple of days. So that's kind of the approach that we're taking, which is a little bit of a modification of Dr. Zink's recommendations. But because of our remote area and our lack of resources, this is the safest way to take care of our patients and keep our healthcare workers safe.
The challenge of quarantine is also difficult in tiny communities that have many people crowded into small homes. Brian Lefferts, YKHC's Director of Environmental Health and Engineering, says that when a person comes back home from outside the region, the whole family should go into quarantine. And if possible, the person coming home should stay in their own room for much of the time. YKHC is also producing signs to post outside the door of homes under quarantine so people coming up to visit will know and stop at the door. They are also making signs that elders can post to ask people to stay away because elders are more vulnerable to the COVID-19 disease.
We're working on having those signs created. Before something like that's available, you can make signs like that yourself. Mm-hmm. And that just gives people a heads up, you know, before they actually come into your house.
The big question right now is how many people in the region have been infected by the coronavirus. As of last week, Dr. Hodges says two have been tested. The samples were sent out to labs to be analyzed. Dr. Hodges also acknowledges that village residents need better access to the tests. Right now, health aides can't gather the samples needed for the tests, but YKHC is rolling out training to teach them how to do it.
Testing in the villages is going to be logistically challenging. We are trialing this in some of our larger villages to see if we can actually accomplish this.
YKHC is also gearing up to provide the needed tools and material, but here too, there is a problem.
No one has enough testing supplies, and we're no different than anyone else. But we will be rolling out testing to villages on a kind of a case-by-case basis and making sure that we can, you know, have the test kits in the right place at the right time and have the transport the samples safely.
That's Dr. Ellen Hodges, Chief Hospital of Staff with YKHC. Anyone who wants to get care during this pandemic must call the hospital and the clinics ahead to make the appointments. There are no walk-ins anymore. It's part of the program to control the spread of the COVID-19 virus. And people without running water face unique challenges to their efforts to limit the spread of the contagious virus at the center of the COVID-19 outbreak. One of the main recommendations is to wash your hands often. That's a lot harder to do if you haul your own water. KYUK's Johanna Urich has more.
People in rural Alaska without plumbing tend to ration their water so they don't have to haul so much. They also often use a communal wash basin to clean their hands. That way, they can use the same water over and over again. Brian Lefferts, the Director of Environmental Health and Engineering at the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation, says reusing the water to wash hands can be a problem.
If you have germs or this virus on your hands and you wash your hands in the wash basin, you don't want the next person who comes and wash their hands in that water to pick up the virus.
The solution is a little bit of bleach in the basin water to kill the virus and other germs.
1 teaspoon of bleach to 1/2 gallon of water.
That's a teaspoon for every 8 cups of water. Lefferts says it doesn't take much. And in this case, more is not better.
Now, you don't want to overdo the bleach because, you know, that can be harmful for your skin. But also, you don't want to underdo it.
It's important to have enough bleach in the wash water to kill the virus and stop it from spreading. Public health officials also recommend that people using a common wash basin empty it at least once a day, even if the water still looks clean. For KYUK, I'm Johanna Urich.
And finally, stay healthy, safe, and informed about COVID-19 with coffee at KYUK. Each weekday, KYUK will provide coronavirus updates from local organizations and community partners. Tune in Monday through Friday following the 8 a.m. newscast. Send your questions about COVID-19 to news@kyuk.org or through KYUK's Facebook page. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukton coming up.